Hello again, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Game Pass Grab Bag, your weekly podcast reviewing games from the Game Pass collection. Bring you three new perspectives varying skill range. I am the wanderer of this episode, Andrew. With me, the one who believes root is the main ingredient in root beer, Keith.
Hello.
And the one who easily gets lost between worlds, Liz.
Hey, guys.
This week, we decided to play Remnant 2 by Gunfire Games. Remnant 2 is a third-person action RPG Souls-like. I'd say the last one was a bit more Souls-like than this one, but you know, some people still describe it as Dark Souls with guns. But Remnant 2 is, you know, you play as a character who is known as the Traveler this time around. Yeah, the first game you were the Wanderer. But you come across an old settlement from the human race called a Ward, and you discover, you know, the root, which was the main enemy in the first game, you know, is slowly dying on Earth, but, you know, it's still there, and you have a companion that's sick with the root, so you're trying to get to the ward in order to save your companion and basically uncover what's going on with the rest of humanity. But going around, Liz, why don't you start us off with this?
For me, it's a game. It's hard because I definitely think I like this game more, but I had issues with the difficulty. And so I feel like halfway through playing it, I really just wanted to play multiplayer. I was playing on the easiest, I think. And even you thought it was crazy how many elites I was finding. And especially like the last one, it took you a couple of tries to kill him. Like kept dying. And it was just like, this is not the beginning of a game, beginner difficulty. And so maybe I just suck. You know, that's fine. But so it was a bit harder than I would have liked, but there's so many elements of this game that I loved, and playing with Andrew, it was a lot of fun. So I'm gonna give it a game.
I think overall I'm gonna go the opposite, and I think oddly kind of the same reasons. I just don't. I mean, as a genre, I don't do well with Souls-likes. I don't like them. I don't have the patience, and there was times that I wouldn't have classified this as a Souls-like overall, but when it came to fighting some of the bosses and the difficulty, as you were talking about, Liz, it was more frustrating to me than anything. But I don't know, the more I thought about it, it really just didn't hook me. Is that I guess I never really found anything that I was like, oh, this was like something I really wanted to get into. What was Lies of P? Like, that was a Souls like we played that. Man, I was mad that I just couldn't play or was so bad at, because I wanted to play that. This was just really nothing hooking me. Nothing that I didn't like overall, but just nothing like, wow, this is great. So I'm going to go ahead and give it a pass.
Well, I'm going to come around here and I'm giving this a definite game. yeah. No, this game is awesome. And it is incredibly awesome. More people need to check this game out. So what I loved about this game, there's a lot of things about it that are just really interesting and cool. So this game is procedurally generated, but it's procedurally generated in like in a unique way. So, you know, if you've played the first one, the whole game kind of revolves around this glowing red gem called the World Stone. And when you touch it, you get transported to another world. The first Remnant game was very much more linear, but this one is, you know, procedurally generated. You know, you start off one in three worlds. So, you know, Liz, you started off in a world that I didn't get till the third planet. Like, I didn't get it till farther in my game. I didn't get to go to that planet. But, you know, so I love that these games are just different as to which world you're playing at. Then not only that, then it even gives you a different storyline with that world, including different bosses and different encounters. So it's kind of a fun game to kind of talk in, like, trade with your friends of like, oh, did you fight this guy? It's like, no, I haven't seen this guy. And this game just encourages you to kind of keep replaying. So to me, I actually more describe this game as like an ARPG, and almost in the vein of like Diablo. You're not getting as much loot, but it's kind of the same kind of gameplay of, you know, you're restarting your role on a harder difficulty. You're trying to get better loot so you can upgrade your guns. You're getting all these different classes that you can kind of switch to and level them up. There's a lot going with this game. The co-op is drop in and drop out. It's a lot of fun. The boss fights are just really cool. So this is a definite game for me because I love it. I actually bought it before this came to Game Pass. And so it was nice that I was on Game Pass. So it's like, oh, well, now we get to cover it. And then also to answer some people's questions, because I know some people on Discord asked, do you need to play Remnant 1 to play Remnant 2? I would say no. So the story does pick up after Remnant 1. But as I said, this game's kind of a Souls-like, and this is one thing I hate about Souls-like. Studios think Souls-like mean you have to have a very convoluted story, and this story is so convoluted. But it's good. I actually looked up the lore videos, and I was like, this is actually a pretty interesting story. But if you've played any other From Software game that are Souls-like, if you want to get the story, you have to read descriptions of every item. You got to read, like, the tool tips. You got to pick up and find random notebooks. Like, you have to dig super deep in the game to find the story, and I don't want to do that. So if you care so much about the story, yes, you got to play Remnant 1. But overall, no, you don't need to play Remnant 1.
I didn't remember the story at all. I mean, I remembered, like, different images from playing the game, but I didn't remember the story at all, and I went into this, and I was like, this makes sense. So I definitely didn't feel like I missed it, you know.
I was the same way. I remember hearing reviews of this game being like, oh, the story's really kind of confusing and kind of whatever, and I'm like, okay. I was playing it, and I'm like, oh, I kind of get what's going on. Like, I remembered a good amount of the first one. You know, as I said, there's this evil plant, zombie-like creatures called the Root. They're literally tree trunk creatures that are made out of root-like material. And they've invaded Earth in the first game and wiped out majority of humanity. And, you know, in the first one, you were trying to stop the Root from spreading on Earth. But now that the Root has stopped on Earth, you are discovering that, you know, you are connected to a whole bunch of other planets. It's kind of a multiverse thing, and the Root is spreading to other planets. So you're basically trying to stop the core of the Root. But you're going essentially to other planets and fighting different monsters and solving kind of the problems of those planets. But yes, I agree with you, Liz. For the most part, I was like, I get this story until the end. And then the end, I was like, what the hell was that?
I heard a little bit of one of the theories that you were listening to, and it sounded terrible.
Yes, it's. I remember when I watched it, I was like, that was it? Like, what the heck was that?
So terrible, in a wow, that's stupid kind of way, or like,
yeah, it's I'd say
awful,
stupid.
Like it's gut wrenching.
Was it kind of like, what's that game, Thimbleweed Park?
It's not that bad. Not that bad. I love how much we reference Thimbleweed Park. That game was such a small blip in our, like,
I was going to say, if anything portfolio. For me, it's so free. Like, I only remember it because Liz talks about it. And I do remember it distinctly because, I mean, it is burned into my brain. But I think that game would have been so forgettable for me otherwise because, like, it still doesn't bother me, the ending. I thought it was 100%.
Dumb. I mean, you pick up dust, you know?
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not even defending it. I'm not saying it was good. I just... As I recall, I think I would have just written off it as, that was kind of dumb, but it was 5 hours.
In other words, I need to stop talking about it.
Yes. Because we all have our games. I still harp on Graveyard Keeper every chance I get. Like, we have our game, so I'm not even judging it. It's just
Soccer Story.
I harp on Soccer Story, so yeah.
or the Halo show. Andrew will, he might actually bring that up somewhere in this episode. Don't be surprised.
No, that you mention it, Keith.
But you know what? I like that every single time I bring it up, I forget what it's called. Like, I was thinking of Thimbleweed.
This was the fastest you remembered the name of the game.
Yeah. You did. But yeah,
because the ending was such a disappointment.
I would love if, like, a listener had, like, a count of, like, how many times we mentioned Thimbleweed Park.
It really isn't a lot. We've mentioned Graveyard Keeper way more.
Do you think that was your most hated game?
Hated ending.
Okay. All right. But anyway, no, but the story, I didn't think the ending was as bad as Thimbleweed Park. But if you really are into the story, I actually just learned this. This is technically the third game in the series because there actually was a game that's a prequel called Chronos Before the Ashes. Because I always wondered why it was called Remnant from the Ashes, and now it's Remnant 2 from the Ashes. And it makes sense because Chronos Before the Ashes is the prequel. So technically, this is the third game in the series. But yeah, as I said, if you really want to know the lore, yeah, you got to start digging through a whole bunch of mess. But honestly, the story I liked because I liked what was going on. Because as I said, you're traveling through each different planet and, you know, you're getting a lot of context clues of seeing what's going on. You know, a lot of dead bodies and burning going on usually. As a spoiler alert, that's usually what's going on a lot of these other planets. But it's kind of cool. You're still getting lore of what's going on. And the planets are incredibly diverse. You're going from an old kind of medieval elf world to, you know, a foresty world, then to like a techno world with like a bunch of robots. Really awesome. I loved the world building in this game.
See, I feel like I've been stuck in the world that I'm in for too long. The forest world. And it's just becoming to look way too red. And I also, because...
Sorry, I don't know if our dog's picking up. Our dog sees a squirrel in the backyard.
That's pretty loud.
That's me typing.
Just keep going, Liz.
Okay.
Daisy's just seeing a squirrel.
She just sees a squirrel. But yeah, so for me, I feel like, I mean, I've seen images of the other planets, and I wish that I had seen them, you know? But because I feel like when I first went to it was the forest world, right?
Yeah. Aisha is the name of the planet.
Yeah, it was kind of enchanting looking. But now that I'm just running around, everything just seems too red. And then it's also, at first I thought like, oh, I don't really need to look in every nook and cranny. There isn't a lot to loot unless you kill bad guys. And then Andrew's like, no, you're wrong. There's like secret walls that you have to shoot, secret walls that you can just walk into where there's no door, lots of different puzzles. And so for me, I was like, oh, I feel like I didn't know that. So I kind of went into it also not really, and that's not like me. I usually look in every single nook and cranny, but I was like, I'm not finding anything. So,
I mean, there's not a ton of loot. There's some hidden chests here and there, but you're mostly just getting like money and
crafting. But that's why if you miss it, it's a lot more that you're missing.
Yeah.
It's weird because I feel like it's so, like you described it as an ARPG in the sense of like you're kind of grinding out some loot, but overall it's not randomized loot, right? It's all...
No, like, it is. You're getting these, you're getting mods too. Right. So you have a healing potion thing, you know, very Souls-like where you have a limited number of healing potions, but you can attach these relics to them and those are randomized.
Yeah, but overall, like I'm talking about the
But no, you're not getting gear. Guns. Yeah, you're not getting guns and armor, no.
Yeah, the gear that's available, it's if, you know, if you go to this chest in this area, this is what you're going to get in that area. It's this ring, it's this amulet, or whatever it may be. So it's, I think it's a, and I know you said like, or, you know, similar to, but I think it's a bit generous to say that it's dungeon crawler-like in that aspect, or really in any aspect, because I think it's a set loot. And to that point, I think there were some cool puzzles, but I wanted to make sure I understood because I never got out of the first world. So there's three worlds and three worlds only. It's just the order that you go in them.
Kind of four. Varies. So there's usually two alternate paths for each world. So that's why this game encourages you to kind of either replay or visit your friends' worlds so you can kind of get the other stories, bits and pieces that are going on.
Okay. And that's fair. And that is kind of cool if you want to. If you are into the game and you're getting hooked into it, I can totally understand that, and I think that is a nice design to it. But yeah, I don't know where I didn't care anything about really what the story was going on because I didn't I only remembered that we played Remnant 1 because you had mentioned it a while back, and so I like vaguely remember it, but I couldn't have told you what I thought of it. I don't know. Maybe
I'm pretty sure you didn't like it. I know me and Liz loved it.
Yeah, I was gonna say I feel like it was probably a similar to this. I don't know what it is about some of these games, and especially where it has Souls likes. You know, well, as we always mention, old games, Ashen. Andrew knew exactly where I was going with that. It's funny for how we just pick and choose, not pick and choose the way we like different games the way we do. I liked some of the map design and like the little nooks and crannies hiding like, oh, okay, normally this is just a full wall, but you can actually crawl under the wall this time if you look that area. And so it's neat. And there were some cool little puzzles behind them, you know, one where you had to find the hidden numbers on the walls. I don't know if you guys found that one.
Yeah, that one's cool in the sewer.
It wasn't enough to, I don't know, make up for everything else. Because I also was on the easiest difficulty. I was looking at it because I was trying to go to an easier difficulty, and I went, oh, nope, I'm already there. I had been on that. And I felt like for the most part when I was running along through, I don't know, just taking out random mobs, everything was fine and easy and really not all that difficult. I would die here and there, but not like frustratingly. But I don't know, I think the one boss I tried to fight, the Nightweaver, I don't even know if she's a big boss.
Yeah, she's the final boss. So you got to the final boss.
What? No.
Yeah. Wait. Dreamweaver or Nightweaver?
Maybe Dreamweaver?
Is it a giant, like, banshee-looking creature that's crawling around?
Both. She was flying around outside first.
And that's then the final boss of that world, Keith.
Well, I mean, of that world?
Yeah, that's probably why it was very difficult. Because, yeah, you were if you beat that boss, that's when you traverse to another world.
Okay, and that makes sense. But still, it was just annoyingly hard. And because the overall combat, you have a roll. And I think this is a Souls-like thing. But you have a roll, and you have an attack. And a sprint. And if you sprinted away from her, all she did was just attacked you in the back, and if you dodged the one dive attack she had, well, then she just slammed the ground no matter how far away you got, because you couldn't get far enough away. And then you shoot the crap out of her, and I could get through that first phase, but then that second phase, by golly, I had no health left. So it was just stupid, and I got frustrated, and then I started doing other stuff, and I was kind of having fun because I was killing stuff, but I was pretty much ready to be done. I knew I wasn't going to get past that boss.
Yeah, Andrew, you didn't really warn me about the difficulty, because I asked you at the beginning, like, should I do the easiest difficulty? And you're like, like, and if I can't imagine playing on a higher difficulty, because
I'm pretty sure I did, because I told you guys it was a Souls-like.
I feel like you did, or at least I might have asked you, because I think that's exactly why I started on the easiest difficulty.
But even you were struggling with one of the elites. It took you multiple tries to kill the elite for me, because you knew that I was just done.
It's because your gun sucked.
I just bought this gun because Andrew told me that, like, oh yeah, you have to find the guns out in the world. No, you can buy them from someone. He didn't tell me because, like, I had this rifle and he was like, oh, that's a beginner rifle. You can't even do mods. But I was leveling it up because, like, I wasn't finding any more guns that were rifles. And so he eventually figured out
I have like 30 hours in this game and I didn't realize that there's a gun vendor in the main world. So I always thought you just had to find the guns in the world.
I knew, like, the people that upgraded and, like, made the mods for you and stuff.
Yeah.
But you told me, like, no, you have to look for them. So I didn't look around the base trying to find somebody.
I legitimately didn't know.
I'm just saying you can't blame my guns when it was your fault. And also you tried again with my new guns. You tried again with my new guns and you died.
Well, you picked a rifle. I don't like rifles. The assault
rifle. I also had the AR or whatever.
Yeah, and I killed the boss with that gun.
Yeah, and I told you to switch the gun. You didn't listen to me. But anyway.
I think I put in maybe close to 8 to 10 hours, and it was probably 75% of my playing that I figured out that I could buy armor. And that was because I was like, there's got to be I can't just keep doing this. Everything's like one-shotting me. And so then I just looked around and I found the armor vendor. I never did find the weapon vendor, though. Found the person who
he's at the firing range. His name's Barnabas. Okay. Or Barabbas.
I don't know. I had a pretty decent gun. Sorry, Liz. Yeah. I cut you off, though.
Well, that's a Mudtooth's kid, right? Yep. I listened to the beginning and ending of our first episode because I wanted to see if we had given it a game and if, you know, what score we gave it. And I feel like, Keith, the way that you were talking in those small sections that I listened to, is you sound very similar to how you felt about the first one.
No.
But you were, like, trying very hard to be polite and not give it a pass. You're like, I mean, I could see why someone would like it. I mean, I wouldn't pick it up again. So you technically gave it a game, but you said you didn't want to play it again.
This was back in my youth when I used to do, you know, it's a good game, just not for me. Then I grew up and I just said, you know what, pass. I'm grumpy, I'm old, I don't have time for this, pass.
I also think it's funny that Andrew, you made fun of me for falling off the cliff edges. And don't get me wrong, like, it definitely was, like, I would roll and just miss. And Andrew, like, the entire time was like, like, it was probably very hard to watch me. But I also got great satisfaction when you also went over the cliff edge.
Every episode, apparently, is you just trying to find ways to shame me.
No, because you shame me when you're watching me play. And yeah, then
I don't do it to you in public here.
Yes, you do. Like,
what? Don't agree with her, Keith.
Cranberry mango.
Oh my gosh. That was you shaming me.
No, you were saying that I was wrong. Like, yeah, you always bring
that
do.
Story up, that how
that's
I
the
was
thing
wrong.
You always bring up, like, how I was, like, wrong or bad about something, and then when it comes back to you, it gives me joy.
I that one, never
that's always my favorite story. Cranberry mango doesn't exist. Nonsense.
Okay. I will still say that you don't really buy mango juice. And usually with cranberries mixed with something you mix with.
You can go into the cranberry juice aisle and find at least 5 to 7 different varieties of some form of cranberry juice that they don't make any other juice for, but it's sure as heck in cranberry juice. And that's what I'm saying.
I did want to say thank you to Andrew for telling me to be the handler first, because the healing definitely was helpful. Because that's the only one where, like, you have a companion that heals you, right?
Yeah.
Unless you play with other people.
Yep.
So that definitely came in handy. Yeah.
I don't think he helped me.
What class did you pick, Star Keith?
The handler, right?
You did the handler as well, the one with the dog?
Yeah. I thought it'd be fun to have a pup running around with me.
Keith, is that a cat on your shoulder?
It is. He has decided.
It just looks like a black mass, but I can't see what it is.
Yeah, he has just decided that this is where he wants to live right now. He's only supporting his front paws on my shoulder. The 80% of his body weight is in my left hand on his back two legs right now. He's not making any effort to hold himself up on his front paws.
I feel bad. I feel like we should bring the couch cushion for Daisy. She's laying on a duster.
She can sit on that. But for my role, I picked the medic, because I'm always like, I always love a good medic role. And I was like, you know what? I knew the person, or one of our guests we always have on here, David. I knew he bought the game. He convinced me to buy the game. So I was like, you know what? I'm probably going to play with him a lot. So I'm going to be the healer. I really like the medic.
And you play with randos too.
Oh yeah, I played with random people quite a bit, and playing with random people is great. But with the classes, this is another thing that I think Remnant 2 does so well. So you can pick a class, they're called archetypes, and you're not stuck with that role. You can go around the world, you know, it's a free one you get, but you can find the objects to get the other archetypes. So there's a couple vendors that sell the other classes. So I think you start off with the handler, the defender, the ranger, I think his name is, and then the medic, and then the handler, as I think I might have said. But then there's a bunch of mystery ones that you have to find out in the world in secret areas. So those ones, you got like the summoner, you have the engineer, you have the gunslinger, you have the explorer. There's actually even one, this is another very cool thing that Gunfire Games did. So almost every game, they usually have what's known as data miners. These are people that are looking through the files of the game and trying to find secrets and whatnot. But there were these doors that were locked. And so people were data mining and trying to figure out, how do I get in this door? And from data mining, there's actually a secret archetype that is essentially available to data miners. So people discovered that there's this hidden, I don't know if you can do it on Xbox, but yes, there's another class that is kind of hidden in the game that they kind of rewarded data miners to look for. Which is just really awesome.
Like, how do you then get, like, can you only get it if you've data mined it? Or do you just,
I think,
be someone finding it, now everyone can use it, basically?
So I think from what it was in the PC, I think what you have to do is wear corrupted gear. So you can access it on the Xbox. I can't remember what the video is. I can't remember what the class was called. I want to say it was like the Ritualist or something like that. But you had to wear like corrupted gear in order to open this door, and it brought you to like an infinity room. It literally is like an office building that's like an infinity room, and you have to follow a certain path, and at the end you get the item. So it was because of data miners that you're able to figure the path out. So it's because of the data miners that you now can access it online and figure out how to do it and get the answer to the puzzle. But it was specifically meant for data miners, which is, I think, just a really cool feature. Because a lot of games don't like data miners. They don't want people to look through their files and find secrets and, you know, figure out future DLCs. But here, Gunfire Games is like, nah, here's a reward. You get a secret class.
I don't know. I feel like, to a certain degree, games have always, I guess, hidden things in for people who hack the games. And in some ways, good ways, some ways, bad ways. So I guess it's just like a fun little game developers have with people who do that. And I guess I will, like, it's one of those things I'll admit that I think that's really cool. I still don't think it would ever be anything that I would get to in the game, because just, like, the gameplay hinders my ability to progress in the game enough so that I just don't think I'd ever get to that part. And it's cool,
So you never played with random people, did you, Keith?
I didn't. And I'm sure I would have been fine, because I'm assuming it's a game that you don't have to have a ton of communication and, like, yeah, nope. Nobody's got a mic. What's going on?
Never talk to a single person. I actually really enjoyed playing with random people in this game. So when you boot up the game, even when you like are in the game, you go to your options, you can change it. So normally the game is, I think, naturally set to friends only can join your game, but you can set it to public or offline, so nobody can join your game. But I just put it to public, and I would just keep playing, and then randomly, boop, here someone joins my game. And almost any time I have random, like, the enemies get a little more health, but just having another person there to revive you when you're down, help draw fire, it makes the game so much more enjoyable. I highly recommend playing with randoms. This is weird for me to say, because I was never like, oh, randoms are great. But no, I never had a bad experience playing with randoms. There is friendly fire, but I never had a troll. I never had someone just shooting me. Because, as I said, like, the way the game is designed of having different stories and paths, it's encouraging you to play with people. So I think that's why randoms are great, because they probably want to get a boss that they don't have in their game. So, yeah, play randoms. Or if you have friends, just in general, playing co-op is way better. So you guys complain about the difficulty. I started on normal, and I don't think I ever died with the, like, random mobs. I would die in the boss fights, but I generally didn't find the gameplay that hard.
You said when you were playing with me that you couldn't believe how many elites I was getting.
So this game has had multiple paths since I last played it. I'm assuming they increased the number. They're called aberrations, which are essentially like random elites. So they're just a normal creature, but it's like obviously has a health bar and will have like a perk to it. So I think they obviously must have increased the number of aberrations.
But you said that it might have something to do with like the moon that was out or something, like a blood moon.
So you were in Yesha, that was the planet, and it has like a blood moon in which you had it, I think, going on, which I know increases like the chance of you getting these butterflies, which give you a currency, but I think that was part of the reason. But there's definitely, you definitely were just getting a lot more random, like, elites than but I did.
Again, it's, you know, it was towards the beginning of the game for me. Like, this is the first planet that I've, the only planet that I've been on. And so for me, it's like, it's just not noob friendly. I feel like, I mean, if you're not very good at video games or you're new to this style of video game, I don't think it's very friendly for that.
Yeah.
I don't know. The one thing I will say is that it's maybe a little easier than, I don't know, maybe say Lies of P. And I would imagine some of the bigger ones like the Elden Ring and things like that. Because even with the guns, it has easier? Like a pretty good auto aim. So like that's in the favor of user friendliness. But overall, I just struggle with patience in these types of situations, and I want to hack and slash my way through and treat it like a Diablo, but I have to be more, you know, patient and resilient and all of the things that I'm unwilling to do in most cases of video games. I'm just like, screw it, this is it for me. And one thing it also doesn't do from a quote-unquote Souls-like perspective that is very user-friendly is you drop no equipment, at least on the easiest.
There's no penalty for death.
But yeah, you keep all of your equipment, all of your currency. There's no degradation or anything of your equipment. Nope. So
like it's repair anything.
Very, very user-friendly and, you know, overall accessible in that aspect, I would say.
Yeah, I kind of disagree with you about Lies of P.
You think Lies of P was easier than this?
Not easier, but like the pacing of the enemies. You know, I want to be able to look around for like 5 seconds before being bombarded with like 10 enemies. You know, like for me, I felt Lies of P was more accessible for me. I do agree with Keith that I think it is great that you don't like lose your items and stuff like that, but overall, it wasn't fun for me that it was like a nonstop horde where I think I wanted to kind of look at the surroundings more and read the journals and like, you know, look through like the nooks and crannies and stuff. And I just felt like, just get me out of here. So I just felt like the pacing was really awful.
I feel like your image of this game is being jaded just because of the area you're on now. You're in an area where there's a lot of flying creatures, and yes, they are bombarding you. And you and flying creatures in any game, you do not do well with them. But I feel like when you were playing before, like in the regular forest, when you just find like the little roly-poly guys, like you had no issues with them.
Yeah, that was fine. But at the same point, like, I mean, how much longer do I have to deal with this before I get to a section that doesn't suck?
And this was a game for you?
No, it's just... for me, like, I know what I'm saying is I agree with you, but the fact that, like, this is towards the beginning of my gameplay, this is the first planet, and I'm already having kind of this, like, big struggle, that it's, for me, I'm like, is it going to get worse? I mean, you're saying it's going to get easier, but, you know, as somebody who hasn't played this game, like, I don't know that. That Blood Moon is away now. And you beat that thing that kept killing you, so.
See, I think this game is way easier than Liza P. I beat Liza P recently, and that final boss of Liza P was no joke.
Well, I don't think either are easy. I'm just saying, like, I felt like the pacing with the enemies was way better in Liza P.
I think so, but I think that it has to do with the style change, and I definitely doesn't really give you a lot of time for reading bits and bobs that you find around the world, because even those, like, most games will pause when you do that, and I think maybe because I had it as online, actually, too. I think I had it open to friends only, but it never paused for me when I opened any of that stuff, so it was, you know, there was no time to do really any of that if you're getting attacked. But the use of guns as a heavy attack, and, you know, really no ammo issues or anything like that as a whole, it felt like you could clear mobs out quicker or quickly enough that, I don't know, I had some breathing room here and there, because I was, as I mentioned, I was still on the easiest difficulty as well. But I think that was the reason for the increased mobs, was the ability to kill them quicker.
I mean, I don't blame the game for this, but I felt like at the beginning there was so much interesting story, and I feel like where I'm at now, I'm not getting much more except for, like, the journals and stuff, where I'm also thinking, like, oh, if I get to, like, the next planet, am I going to get some more story? Like, I want to know more about, like, Bo and Clementine and Riggs and all the characters.
See, those you don't really learn. Whenever you're going to a planet, you're essentially learning the story and lore of that planet.
But yeah, to actually, see, I'm know invested the characters in,
is when you go back to the main world.
I'm invested in Ward 13, though. So, like, they started out where you're, like, you're hearing that Riggs has been through, like, so much. And, you know, you have that, I forget that woman's name that's kind of rude to you. But, you know, you get invested in these characters. And it's like, okay, now you're going to go to a planet and just be bombarded by flying monsters. No, but I really do just, like, I want to go back to, like, Ward 13 and do more. And same with, like, so they tell you have to destroy, like, Ford tells you
Liz just wants a farming simulator in this world.
What?
You just want a farming simulator in this world. You just want to stay back in the same place. No, but I want
to go back and, like, get to know them more. Like, with Mudtooth, you get that achievement for just talking to him nonstop. And so for me, but it's like his stories, I mean, they're all right, but the beginning is what really caught me.
His stories actually have a significance to the lore.
And I love that he contradicts himself a lot, yeah. Or he'll, like, say, like, this is why it happened, but then he'll say something else. And
yeah, why he got his name Mudtooth.
But that's why I like interacting with these characters, and I just feel like I've been stuck on this planet for too long, which is also probably my fault for not being good at the game.
I think this is the game that I finally figured it out. Liz just wants to be an NPC in any game we play. She doesn't want to be the main character. She just wants to be an NPC.
I'm not a main character, but NPC.
Just hang, find out what's going on with everybody. This is
maybe
where
shop at the local market. You are not wrong.
You guys do the monster killing. I'm going to do the storytelling.
I mean, I want to do, like, some monster killing, but I also think it would be fun if, you know, they joined in with me, so I wasn't just by myself on the adventure.
I tried playing with you.
There's always NPC that you found broken down or attacked in the road. You could be that NPC, Liz. So you could be out adventuring, but still getting attacked and hating it.
You did. I feel like the majority of the time that we were able to play together,
you're
was
like,
when
ow,
I got
my thumb hurt.
Oh my god!
I need to call you out. You said you kept calling me out this episode.
No, Keith, she can I tell you what happened? Thumb. No, can I tell you, I was peeling a carrot, and right on the knuckle under the thumbnail, the first knuckle that you bend for gaming, I carved out a huge chunk of flesh. It wasn't a little scrape.
Yeah, it was a
huge chunk of flesh. I've never, because I when I use my like my cheese grater or my veggie peeler, I've cut myself a lot. I've never cut myself like this. And it does hurt when I bend my thumb.
Put it to the camera, Liz.
I put a pretty good chunk into my finger, not last Christmas, but the one prior, cutting into a pack of bacon. I went, cut my finger on the pack of bacon. I was a little mm-hmm. too excited to open that bacon. Oh. And yeah, that one took a good bit too, because I even cut a little bit of the nail.
It prevent you from gaming, Keith?
Well, no.
Was it on the knuckle, though? Was it on the bendy knuckle?
It was the tip, and it was on the middle finger, so it was already around the back of the controller, so it had no impact on it, because I don't have an Elite controller anymore. Anyway, I never really used the back pedals, so let's be honest.
Maybe this is just proof that I'm not a gamer. I'm not cut out for it, you know?
Not cut out?
Yeah. But also, I felt like right when we got to the annoying bit is when I was just like, Andrew, please just take my controller.
So that's what I think is funny. We're like, this game's too hard. I'm like, hey, I'll play with you, Liz, to help you. Yeah, I don't want to.
It took you like 5 times to kill that big enemy. And I'm like watching you play. I'm like, this does not look fun.
This is still a game for you, Liz? I feel like you are dumping on this.
No, because I do know that it was just like this very annoying section. And all the way up until then, I was enjoying the game. And so I believe you when you say that there is more after.
Okay. But I will say the big thing, like I said, I normally didn't die too much from the trash. For me, I loved the boss fights in this game. The bosses, I think, were really cool in the awesome thing about the boss fights as well. Usually when you fight a boss, they kind of have like a special attack, you know, as in like most Dark Souls, you know, you like someone has like a cool weapon or something like that. In Remnant 2 here, when you kill the boss, you get an ingredient and you usually can create what's known as a mod, which is like an attachment you can put on your gun, and you get that ability. So usually when you find a boss, the guy creates a giant circle, and if you look at him, you're taking damage, it gives you madness. You kill that guy, boom, you get that ability. You can now attach it to your gun, so when enemies are attacking you, if they look at you, they're just taking damage.
It is really cool.
There's other ones where you can shoot like a poison arrow. There's one I love where I shoot this slow-moving ball of electricity that just chains to everyone and just starts hurting everybody. That was like my first boss I killed ever, and I am still using that mod.
Oh, I have that one.
But I love the mods are mixed and matched. Like, you're not pigeonholed. Like, literally, you could be in the middle of your run and just be like, nah, I don't want this mod anymore, and just switch it. No penalty.
I had that one, and I think I had one that was like a grenade launcher.
Yep. There's one, yeah, that shoots call traps.
And you can can upgrade those too, right?
This is the other cool thing. So you are leveling up your archetypes, which gives you new perks, and every once in a while eventually gives you a new ability. You can level each archetype up to level 10. But, you know, you get these things called traits, which are essentially kind of like you putting in points to buff up your character. And so the traits will vary from like, oh, you generate mod damage. There's ones where you can refresh your mods quicker, you know, increase your max health, increase your stamina, increase your defense. But a lot of these traits you just have to naturally find in the world. When you unlock an archetype, you get a new trait that's normally associated with it. So like the Defender, he's kind of a big beefy guy. You get a trait for him where like you can reduce your encumbrance and you can carry more weight. But I love this trait system. This is once again encouraging you to play with your friends because you just find books that give you the trait points. And of course, every time you kill a boss, you get a trait point. So it's just encouraging you, like very typical of an ARPG, of you grinding, going to other people's dungeons and getting buffed up with trait points.
Well, so there's no cap to them then?
Each trait can go up to 10, right, but there's a ton of different traits. Cap.
Like everything can be maxed out.
Yes.
Okay.
Except for the archetype. Archetypes max out at level 10. But eventually, too, you can equip 2 archetypes. So you can have 2 different, and you can mix and match those. But yeah, there's a lot of customization in this game. I think this game is just, it has a lot of things going for it that are just fun. And just are grindy, but rewarding grinding.
See, I didn't find any of the stuff that you're mentioning now to be grindy. I got excited every time like I got a trait point. Or I got a new mod.
Oh, no, it's exciting.
At this point where I'm at, I'm not finding it grindy. So yeah. I'm saying something positive, Andrew. And I love that feature in games.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that. And so, I mean, at one point I did complain because I was like, I wish I could cycle through 3 guns. Because I felt like that would have been perfect for me because I really wanted like the pistol, the rifle, and the AR. But even like the
four weapons.
Wait, did I play Borderlands?
No. Actually, no. I lied. You played for like 30 minutes. I had you try it and you were like, meh. But this was way before, like when we were dating.
I remember I liked watching you play it.
Yeah. I think you would like it now. Now that you kind of understand video games, I think you would like
it. Yeah, I think I would too.
Fortunately, I guess on Game Pass.
Patreon.
Huh? I could do that. But, yeah, so I think the gameplay overall is just a ton of fun. You guys, I think, just missed out. Just, you didn't want to play with randos.
It's very possible. I just, my tendency, especially, it's really weird. I'll play with random people all day, every day in shooter, like first-person shooters, team-based games. In games like this, I either want to play by myself or I want to play with people I know. And I can't say that it's a bad experience playing with friends or with random people in this because I didn't do it, but that's usually just my tendency.
Me too. And for me, like, I don't like going into a situation where someone's depending on you and you suck. And so for me, if I'm really good at something, like, I would much rather play with someone who just, like, could not get the hang of it, who's not good at it, because I just don't want to let the team down.
You're always afraid of this, but like I said when we did our Patreon episode on Apex Legends, that, yes, you're not the greatest shot, but you're such a good team player. You're always with people. You're always doing things. Like, you're not just someone who's just dinking around and shooting teammates or just, like, standing still AFK and just letting everyone else do the work while you gather the experience points. Like, you're always doing something. So, yes, you're not going to be top of the leaderboard, but, like,
but there's also friendly fire.
But you maybe shot me once, and even then, you don't take a lot of damage. If you're unloading a full clip in a teammate, yes, it'll probably cause damage. But you never, like, went to town on me or anything like that. And that's the thing. Like, that's why I think you underestimate yourself so much, because you naturally play as a team player. And so many people want that.
I like when I have, like, chores in a game. Like, with Sea of Thieves. Like, oh, Liz, go back find these chests. Back to her being an NPC.
I want to mow the lawn. Take the trash out. Can I do dishes?
I like it when you boss me around the games. Be like, go get these chests at the top of the map.
Exactly. That's what I mean. You're a team player.
But this, people are depending on you. So that's why I'm, you know, I just would rather play with friends or by myself.
I'm telling you, I don't think anyone would get upset with you. Even in boss fights, if you're just there to revive them, they would probably love you.
That's like,
I hope our dog's audio is not picking up. Our dog is snoring so loud in this room right now.
I haven't noticed it.
Okay, good.
But even like Lies of P, you have that like summonable companion, which just being a damage hog is really all you need sometimes. So there's something to be said for that. And it's weird because it's not even the intimidation of playing with other people. It's more just I either want to explore these types of worlds on my own, or if I'm going to, again, explore with someone I'm just like talking to and hanging out with while I do, and I don't feel the pressure of feeling like I need to complete a certain number of things. Not that everyone who joins the game is going to be like that. It's just kind of my mindset and why I typically don't.
I will say one thing I'm going to complain about is the map. So the nice thing about the map, when you open it, you know, if an area is invisible or red, that's an area you haven't quite explored. And then, of course, you go there and it fills out the map. But to understand where your objective is and where you're going and what you're doing is very confusing. You do have these quests that you're kind of picking up, some, of course, being a kind of a main quest. But I never felt like I quite knew where I was going. I just felt like I was just going straight, and I kind of stumbled my way into completing the objective. Once again, this was nice about playing with randos. I would get some people that knew what they were doing, and then sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to follow this dude. And then, of course, he'd bring me to a secret area, and I found an awesome gun, and it's like, well, thanks, man. So question. That was another benefit.
Did you ever, and I didn't like the map because I hate 3D maps or layered maps.
Thank you for that hand motion.
Well, we have the recording. If anybody's watching this down the road, or, you know, Javier's in here, he can see me doing the hand. is there's the map key too, which tells you that there's like certain doors that are the main quest doors, there's ones that are side quest doors, and all kinds of stuff like that.
Yes,
no, you have but it was to still inconsistent. Be able to read the map well, because I struggled with that. But just saying that it is there.
It is, but it's a bit inconsistent. I don't know.
See, I just went in a direction and hoped for the best.
That's good. That's what I'm saying. That's kind of what I did.
And so sometimes I'm like, can I make that jump? And I'll look at the map and I'll be like, it looks like I could make it on the map. So then I just go for it. So I thought the map was all right. It didn't really bother me like that, but I also just, I felt like sometimes I didn't know what I was doing, like that elite that we fought, and it was like, oh, you completed the quest, and I was like, didn't know I had one. So for me, that's why I was just like, if there was a door with an exclamation mark, it's like, I'm going to go through that door. But I was really bad about finding the hidden rooms, and once I figured out like the glowy vines can be shot, and it's like a chest room, I started looking out for those, but it's only after you told me about them.
I ran into a couple of those. I didn't know what to do with them.
You have to shoot them with a certain gun, too.
Just any gun.
Well, no, one of my guns wouldn't work on them.
It's because you weren't doing enough damage. You just had to keep shooting, and eventually would have gone.
How many bullets does it take?
I don't know. Do you shoot a lot of tree doors in real life? How would you know?
I'm just saying, like, after, like, you know, how, like, 5 or 6 bullets, if it doesn't work, then I just assume it doesn't work, you know? I'm not going to, like, because also sometimes ammo is hard to come by in this game. I'm not going to waste all my ammo.
Keith disagrees.
I mean, at times, if I had a long enough fight, sure, but none of the world stones were really spaced out all that far apart that you couldn't just go touch one of those and get full health and full everything.
Oh, it wasn't terrible, but I mean, because I was where I'm at now, nonstop enemies, I found like at one point I did run out of bullets for my favorite gun and I had to use the pistol.
Wait, hold on, Keith, how do you know about like the tree doors? You're in like the medieval world, aren't you?
I'm in Losam. Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong doors, but there's these like, I don't know, bluish purple vine. It looks like a door because it gets the little circle to interact with it, but nothing happens and I can't interact with it, so I don't know. I haven't tried shooting them, but I could try.
Not quite sure what door you're talking about.
The way that you described it, I have an image in my head of what it looks like in my world, and maybe it's a wrong door and do the same thing. I could be completely wrong, but you described something that I feel like I saw in my world.
Okay, but this is something I love about this. I love the art style of Remnant 2. As I said, you know, you got these different worlds. Four. One of them is kind of a linear one, the labyrinth, and it's very kind of basic, but it's an in between world. But each one of these worlds' designs are so diverse and awesome. I never felt like I was seeing the same boring corridors. I didn't feel like I was fighting the same boring monsters, because each world has its own unique monsters and they all interacted differently. And so, like, I thought, to me, like, that's what always kept the game kind of fresh for me. It just, these worlds were just fun to look at, and it was cool to kind of uncover and understand what was going on as much as I could uncover and understand. Like I said, the story's a little confusing, but I loved the art style of this game. I think the designs are really cool. Oh, and like I said, when you get mods and you can put them in your guns, it actually changes the appearance of your gun too. So depending what mod you're doing in, your gun gets some really cool designs.
I agree. I really like the graphics. My only complaint from earlier was that where I'm at now, I'm just sick of seeing so much red. but again, that's just a small part of the game. So I don't like hold it against the game or anything, but I even like the faces and stuff. I feel like they did a good job.
Yeah
overall
good contribution, Keith.
Well, can you make like funny looking characters, or because I actually made mine. I wasn't sure because there was like a randomized one. I wasn't sure if they did anything funny.
No, there's nothing too fun that you can really do with it. I was gonna say, I don't know, You're talking about seeing a lot of red. I feel like I'm seeing a lot of blue and gray in mine, and just a lot of that over and over, because it's sewers and it's not medieval. I feel like it's more, I don't know, I feel like old
early Renaissance
British.
Yeah,
is more. But like then what too, or like London.
But then, well, in that world too, you're also going into a castle that's like angelic.
I get no. Is it? I thought that. Yeah. I thought it was like a. It's like a hospital or something because the Night Weaver. There's like nurses and stuff in that building.
Yeah. Did you? Yeah, and then you go into a secret gate and then asylum that brings you to the world with... You definitely went to it because I saw you got the achievement where you meet Nimue, that's it. But yeah, and after you meet her, she brings you... you go to the castle.
I guess. I played this in two different blocks of time. I played this a couple weeks ago, and then I picked it up and I played it for another handful of hours this week, and... So my recollection of some of that stuff is a little bit off, but overall...
Dealing with two Liz's here.
No, yeah, in some ways, but not really.
I'm really jealous. Castles, blue and gray, that sounds so much better.
I don't know. Like I said, I'm not trying to downplay it. I just think that each area probably had a pretty specific color set that after a certain amount of time, it gets a little bit too much in all of them.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool. I thought it was an interesting atmosphere, and I could see, as long as the other ones are unique, then yeah. But I am curious how many of them, I don't want to say have like full on just here's a redesign, but it's the same type of thing. But is it sort of the same idea of like, all right, you have this, you know, these two different types of small enemies, one shoots, one doesn't, and then you have a big enemy and this one,
no,
you know, charges and this one doesn't, or you know, something along those lines.
No, the enemies are actually really diverse. Fully diverse. So Liz is playing in a world. So like I said, when she first was playing, she was literally fighting these guys that are spike balls that are roly-poly that kind of just roll after you. Then she would get some snake creatures that would do some shooting, but they still did a lot of melee. But now she's in a different part of her world where she's literally fighting flying creatures that kind of shoot, or they'll grab her, pick her up, and drop her from high ground and could instantly kill you if you're not fast enough. And then, like you said, in your world, you know, you're fighting people with rifles, you know, yeah, swords, some werewolf creatures. You're fighting guys with chainsaws. Like, it's...
So then there's, like, the sewers, and then there's, like, these weird...
Weird slugs that are very slow, but if they hit you, they do a ton of damage.
And they shoot you with lightning and all that. So, yeah. That's why I was curious if there was just, like, hey, this one shoots some sort of lightning or no, some sort of elemental, but from a distance.
And then the third world is robots. So they all also act pretty different.
Okay.
If I remember, your friend David said that he liked the planet that I was on.
Yeah.
The world. But Liz, because I, do you know what, I almost just said I love trees. I love...
well, you do love trees.
I do love trees. I love forests. I love stuff like that. But Keys just sounds so much cooler. Maybe it's just because they don't have a lot of flying enemies. Maybe that's why.
No, there's actually a lot of like angel creatures.
And then they pop out at you, and that's kind of annoying. And when you get to those little slugs, they are nonstop, pretty much. You kind of just watch them. I got to an area where they couldn't follow me, luckily, but my dog just sat outside the door continuing to fight them. And as I was looking around, it was the number puzzle room. As I was looking around, I could just hear the fight continuing outside the door.
Good so luck, dog.
Never stop.
Left the dog. Wow.
Yeah, poor guy.
Which kind of a mess. You couldn't name your dog. That's kind of lame.
But you can pet the dog, so yeah,
that's
you know.
True. You got that going for you.
I'd rather pet the dog than name it.
I did not look, Keith.
You're really missing out on your job here, Andrew. You have one job in this game.
I feel like that was one game. What game was it?
Was it the office one? Going Under.
Going Under, that's it, yeah. That was the one game where the dog had a butthole, and now it's been like a going thing for us. But as far as the audio goes, it's good, not great. There was a handful of times I heard music, but not a lot. But the voice acting is pretty good. Except I will say, the one thing I didn't like is your character will randomly, every time you reload, will just start like cursing. Like, I understand it's supposed to be like intense, like, oh no, my clip is empty and there's enemies here. But there's a lot of times I finish the fight and there's no one there, and I'm just like, I'm going to reload. And my character's like, and I'm like, okay, calm down, dude. Like, it's okay. Like, the fight's over.
I noticed that too, and I thought it was weird that when I was doing the character selection, it had the different options for voice, but I couldn't get any of them to play. I don't know if I did something wrong. Were you guys able to hear the voices at the beginning during character selection?
I think so. Yeah, you could pick like what your character sounded like.
Yeah, I couldn't. They wouldn't work for me. So I had no idea what my character was going to sound like. I mean, she sounds all right, but
I don't quite remember. But I am really glad that you pointed out those really weird and just annoying lines that your character made, because the amount of times that my guy was running was almost over, but yeah, we are far, far from over. I don't even know how far we are, but by golly, I know we are. Nope. Mm-hmm. and just the amount of stupid lines that he just is saying for like, they're just, it's like they went through like a bad horror movie and just plucked out the worst lines they could. And they're like, yeah, just say those.
I think too, sometimes the music didn't match up to what was happening. Like there wouldn't be any enemies around, but the music would pick up and I like frantically look around me trying to find out why it was happening.
Or, I liked it gave you an audio cue when like you were about to be swarmed. It literally does like a horn of brrrr, and you know either like an elite monster's coming or like a group of enemies are coming.
But sometimes I would hear it and nothing would happen.
Because you would run from them or something. I don't know.
You lost them.
I just knew there was an elite when the big red bar popped up on the top of the screen. I went, ah.
That's true.
Bad guy.
But I mean, the voice acting, like some of the story elements, there's very few cinematics, but when you do, it's usually before a boss fight. Really good. Really good voice acting. Really interesting. Like, that was when the story was compelling. Because, like I said, you're kind of getting snippets of, like, what the story is with the world. Also, but fun thing, too, when you play with randos, your characters do actually talk to each other and kind of do a little bit of banter. Not a lot, but it at least was nice to kind of fill the air. So I guess it makes sense as why your character's saying these weird dumb lines of, oh, almost there. Because you're all by yourself, and I guess you're trying to, I don't know, hype yourself up, but... I did not like when I was playing solo and my character saying weird, annoying lines. But, yeah, in the achievements, though... and also, too, for time to beat for Remnant 2. Not a terribly long game. You know, if you just want to power through and just beat the game, you are looking for about 18 hours. If you want to do, like, main story and the side quest, like, 28 hours. But if you want to complete everything, you're looking at 80 hours. I think I originally beat my first playthrough, I think, in 20 hours. I had a hard time with the end boss, but then I got some randos, and they just helped me finally beat that final boss. That final boss fight is not fun. I did not like that final boss fight. I like the boss fights in this game, but that one was just... It's awful. There's just so much going on that I don't know what's killing me and what's hitting me. It's... Ugh. But, yeah, as far as the achievements go, they're pretty easy. I don't know if I'd recommend it for achievement hunters.
Yeah, Andrew, you're at 680 out of 1,250 okay. gamer score with 36 out of 55 achievements. Keith, you got gamer score of 90 with 7 achievements, and I got 70 with 6 achievements.
Now, there's no super hard achievement. The only one that I would say is kind of hard is you need to beat a boss solo without taking any damage, which isn't too hard. There's one particular boss when you're in the labyrinth that are these cubes that are crushing you. And there's some things that shoot at you, but it's very slow, very easy to see. And then, you know, that game, you know, if you get crushed by a cube, it's an instant, you're done. You got to restart. So it's kind of one of those things of like, you could probably avoid the few bullets that are coming at you, and it's a relatively easy boss. You could probably get it there. But besides that, the achievements are all very obtainable. So if you're an achievement hunter and you're willing to spend 20 plus hours, you could do 1,000 in this game. But, yeah, so we'll get into our final thoughts here. I'll go first with this. So, because, you know, these two have just been poo-pooing this game, and I will not have it.
I had compliments in there.
Remnant 2 for me. This game is a ton of fun. It does a lot of just really cool things. This isn't just, oh, it's Dark Souls with guns, you know, you're shooting some guys. It is that, but it just has a lot of cool. The procedural generation in this game is just really fun. It's a fun mechanic. Like, when it first came out, like, and everyone was talking about it, like, it was just cool to talk to your friends, being like, oh, yeah, what'd you think of the first boss? He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm in a world full of trees, or I'm in a world full of robots. So it's just cool that the game just throws you in these kind of different avenues of how you're playing. There's bosses that you may not see in this run. Play it again. Join some random people's game, which it is easy, also, too, to join random people's game. It's easy for people to join your game. But you can have up to two friends play with you, so it's three people total within the game at once. but it's very easy to jump in and out with friends. I thought the customization is a lot of fun. It's great to explore. It's so cool when you're finding archetypes and you can equip two of them. There's just a lot of fun things to do in this game. And like I said, it's grindy, but like not in a bad way. I love to just jump, be like, oh, I'm going to jump in a random person's game. Where, I wonder where he's at. What boss am I going to fight with him and gain some trait points, improve my character. Yeah, I think Remnant 2 is just a ton of fun, especially if you, like I said, have a buddy or two. You guys will just have a fun time playing together. And this is a very very rare game where I'd say I highly recommend playing with randos. It's a good time. I'm giving it a 92. Check out Remnant 2. It's great.
I am going to be willing to admit that I didn't get far enough. Willing to admit that I didn't get far enough into Remnant 2 to really say that I experienced enough of it. Didn't get far into. But that said, I just genuinely, even with the things that you're talking about, interesting as they may sound to me, I just don't think is something that would truly have hooked me into the gameplay. And I don't know why, but I genuinely wasn't. I couldn't get myself excited about it, and not even because of the times where I was just getting frustrated with it, because I found I still had plenty of other side things to do, and so I wasn't just trying to necessarily grind out strength. I was at least doing things to get stronger. Overall, though, if you're looking for, I don't even know if I would call it an entry into a Souls-like, but something that touches on the genre without being aggressively Souls-like, this is probably a really good place to start, and I would recommend it in that aspect. But that said, it's not for me, and you know, I'm too old for this now. I'm gonna pass on what I don't like, and I will give it an overall 80 for a score, but I am going with my pass.
It's surprising. I don't think you gave Liza P a pass. And I mean, granted, we didn't do Gamer Pass back in the day. But you liked Ashen, and that game was more brutal.
Maybe it was. I mean, I think also my gaming taste has changed in 4 years. To be honest with you, not immensely, but I didn't love roguelikes as much as I did. That is a love that is. I did in some ways because I've always had my stupid idle games and things of that nature, which aren't roguelikes, but touch on the realms of them. But yeah, I think my gaming tastes have changed since Ashen, and so it, you know, while we joke with Liz about it, I think, you know, her gaming tastes have changed too, so we're all entitled to that. Andrew, let us have it. Stop trying.
I'm really
to
curious, like, Liz is starting to like a bit more of Souls like games. I'm curious if we revisited Ashen, if she would like it.
I definitely wouldn't hate it as much as I did.
Yeah.
I really disliked it.
It still blows my mind that was the first game we picked was Ashen.
I don't even know.
Who picked it? I think it was you, Keith.
No, I think it was Keith.
I think it might have been because you were playing it. I was like, that sounds like a good excuse for me to play it. But all I'll have to say, what a weird pick for our first game.
Well, technically, Sea of Thieves was our first game, but that episode was so bad that we ended up not doing Sea of Thieves till like a couple months later.
I'm going to give the game an 83. No, that's a good score. Because for me, I love so many elements of this game. But right now, I'm just at a point where I'm frustrated. And it makes me not want to move forward. And so I'm going to give the game 83 points for all the amazing stuff. But for the way it's got me feeling right now, you know, and the irritation, and, you know, I'm playing on easy. And it's making me a little bitter about the game. But that being said, I did compliment it a lot, Andrew, with the graphics, the voice acting, the story at the beginning. I like being able to go back and forth and talk to the characters and then just go back to fighting and... but I do wish that there was more of the story, you know? So looking at Metacritic for Series X, 85 and 7.2. You see, 83 is great. It's better than 7.2.
It's not as good as 92.
What?
It's not as good as 92.
It's 9 points less. I think you liked it 9 points more than me. Yeah. It's not like you gave it 100.
Oh, no.
But are you guys curious what your scores were for Remnant 1? Or nah?
Sure. I'm guessing 88.
78.
Andrew's correct. 88. Ooh. Keith, 72. What? And then I gave it a 70.
Really? But you liked it, I remember.
I liked playing multiplayer, but it didn't. I wasn't hooked enough that I wanted to play by myself. With this game, I actually did until I got to where I am now.
Man, I can't believe I nailed it. I can't believe I got my score. Because I do remember like some of it, but not a ton of it. That's crazy.
I thought I was still on just a higher rating method at that point in my life.
I like how we're in our Discord demands the last Sea of Thieves episode. I probably deleted it. I may have my audio, but I don't know if Keith still has his.
I'm like looking. I'm like, I don't know which computer I recorded it on, so I don't.
It's not good. I mean, we could probably put it on our Patreon.
if we ever find it, then yeah, that's the only place for it.
All right, but we're gonna wrap up here. I'm going to give a little bit of a longer outro here because I feel like I don't fully explain things. We do have our Patreon up. We have a $3 tier, which will have episodes of just me and Keith kind of talking about some games that we've discovered that aren't on Game Pass. Then we also have a $5 tier, which is a episodes with deeper dive with all three of us. You know, very similar format of these episodes. But we've been covering games so far. We've done Overwatch and we've done Apex. We are hoping to get a deep dive episode at least once a month, and then these smaller episodes we'll probably do twice a month. So we do have those available on Patreon if you would love to support us. You know, we greatly appreciate it. But we're, of course, you know, if you want more content from us, it's there. Then of course come check out our Discord. You know, we love interacting with people. You know, me and Keith are very active on there. We have some great listeners. We just created an art channel on there where people are sharing some sketches they've done, Lego builds they've done. Really cool stuff. I love, you know, people coming in our Discord, so check it out. You can find all our links to things at gamepassgrabbag.com, which will just bring you to our link tree. So linktree.com/gbgbpod or gbgb. But yes, go check it out. Come join us. We love interacting and hearing from everyone. But I've been your hardcore gamer host, Andrew. You can find me on Xbox Live at Firebird0952.
I've been Keith, and I think I still need to beat a bunch more potatoes, so that's probably what I'm going to go do, unless I'm going to go lose at Overwatch with Andrew.
And Curtis in our Discord, yes, we would accept Minecraft art.
Yes.
Put it on our Discord. We love it.
I tried to put it in the description, but it didn't save. We'll take any forms of creativity. So that would include video game art, so digital art,
but
physical art. Okay, maybe not butt art. Let's keep it. Let's keep it safe for work here.
But of course, too. Also, thanks again to our Patreon members, Javier and Kelly. Greatly appreciate you guys.
I'd like to point out that I still have our Minecraft art from our original Minecraft episode, and also, but it is not appropriate. Or at least Andrew's are not appropriate.
Of course, I just wrote penis. It's not that bad.
Well, it's funny, like, seeing what I did back then, and, like, because I've been playing Minecraft a lot with my daughter, and so, like, seeing what I do now, it's like, you know.
Well, Liz.
It's fun to look at.
You could share these things if you were in our Discord.
I need to figure out what Discord is.
Okay. After this episode, I'm downloading it on your phone. I'm signing you up, Liz.
Oh, I could do it on my phone?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm Liz New, Gamertech, Common Om Dean, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Liz New, NoobBZW.
All right, everyone. We love you all. We'll see you again next week.
Bye.
Bye, guys.